ass itches.
Hey! Welcome to another episode of
Some Gonzo
Guys.
Whew. I just got done saying, my ass itches, and I'm just scooting my butt okay. Like a dog
that's
on
making,
the...
That's okay, John. That's making the show. I just want to let you know.
That's good.
Merry Gonzo-mas.
Merry Gonzo-mas.
Oh, Merry Gonzo-mas. I don't know.
Oh,
will it be the Hanukkah Hans Gonzo's?
Well, it was Thanksgiving and Hanukkah at the same time, so
Gonzica!
Gonzica. Done.
Gonzica.
Gonzica, Gonzicus, that's like Festivus.
Kwanzo.
I like that.
Happy Kwanzo.
Kwanzo sounds like that should be a gunfighter in a spaghetti western, Kwanzo.
I made this Kwanzo stick for you guys. Is that traditional? I don't even know.
A Kwanzaa stick?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, so this will follow up on the heels. This is the second annual Gonzo-mas, which between our inner circle, the last one was infamous.
That's my fault.
So. Oh, is that your fault? That's your legacy. That one is. we just dropped out.
Yeah, that's something.
Are you guys there?
I'm here.
Okay, because it was just like a minute, was just everything was gone.
Hold on, you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. You fluffed your buns?
I fluffed my buns.
That's good. Oh. So my question before you fluffed your buns was, what was the time on last year's Christmas? Like, what did it end up at? Like 2 hours?
No, it was three, dude.
It was easily three.
give me 1 second, I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was 3 hours and 14 minutes.
Oh, my God. and Tim and I have talked about this many a time, but it's like the greatest performance art ever, because you just, by the end of it, it's like you could just pour Hokey in a glass. He's just so liquid. He's so
Yep, it was a super duper looper Christmas.
Minutes or so.
Oh my God! Yeah, that was not my shiniest moment.
Oh, it's great though. We have the great gifts, which I guess we're switching up this year, partly because I wasn't on the ball as much as I should be. But so for the New Year's, we'll do our infamous gift exchange.
That should cut the running time down a bit for this one.
Yeah.
Tune in next time for an extremely long New Year's edition of Gods of Guys.
I think the Gonzo Guys will be our more, the New Year's Gonzo Guys will be the more robust edition.
Mm. Emphasis on bust.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and also it'll be interesting too, because we'll have a whole New Year thing, and we'll get to hear tales of world traveler Mike Hoganadle. So it'll be like, I imagine like Indiana Jones, but with more gas. You're going to be traveling around the world. Where are you going on your trip? Like, which
location?
Well,
first of all, Indiana Jones was already kind of gassy, so. I'm going to Europe. I'm going to Budapest, Munich, Venice, and then Nice, which is in south of France. So, yeah, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be cold, but it's going to be like... I don't have the fedora, but it is going to be an adventure. We have lots of things planned. And hopefully I'll meet that guy who sings, I'm the Sultan of the Sea. What's his name? The dude that's in the movie? I forgot.
His kind of heavyweight sidekick?
Yeah.
A fez? Well, you just have to get a fez.
Yeah. Bad dude.
Oh, yeah. You definitely need to get a fez for your car, because there's nothing that the people would respect more than a white guy wearing a fez in Europe. They wouldn't think you're taking the fist out of them at all.
And a Hawaiian shirt underneath a coat.
Yeah, and Velcro shoes.
Well, always.
Well, so. You also have to wear. You must wear lederhosen while in Munich. So as is the custom.
I'll be doing a lot of other customary things there, too, so maybe I'll do an impromptu Christmas episode while I'm over there.
You'll record it with your phone.
Yeah. I don't even know what's going on here. I can't understand this. I got it a stein. Your life. Stein as big as my torso, and I'm drinking out of it.
It could be your Live in Budapest or the Cheap Trick album. Yeah, that could be your version is just you drunk rambling about everything.
Snow here,
I'd buy it.
Mike Live in Budapest.
The snow here in Europe is different.
So
I'll be doing that. What are your guys' plans for the holidays?
Ben, yeah. Go ahead.
What are you guys doing? Are you guys doing anything special for the next couple weeks? I think there's going to be a tag team action going on here soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe. It depends on if we can trick any of those lady gentlemen into coming home with us.
Oh, at the Thai club?
Yeah, some lady boys. Tim, I'm rounding up some lady boys for your visit.
Some lady men?
Lady men. No, lady boys. Come on, let's be respectful here.
That's racist.
I stand corrected. Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't call a miss a missus, okay? So you would not call a boy a man.
I call a miss a damn. I almost got her.
I like to call it the oops, I got fooled again, but I'll just work around it. Boy, that got me in trouble before, didn't it, Jeff?
So are you guys going to have like the Trinity music playing in the background while you're stumbling around San Francisco?
Oh, yeah. Well, Tim, that's basically, I would say my holiday is Tim coming to visit, which is in like 2 days, which is awesome. He's coming to visit the San Francisco area for a few days. We're gonna hit the world's largest flea market in San Jose. I may take him to the Cartoon Museum in the city. We're gonna watch the Raiders and Chiefs game at a sports bar, a local sports bar, because we don't want to get killed in Oakland. If Tim was and this is no way a knock, if Tim was a tougher dude, like more of a fighter dude, like some people I know, we'd go, but I don't want Tim to come to visit and we have to fight off a whole stand of Oakland Raider fans kind of thing.
That is extremely congruent to the trip I had to Kansas City for the holidays 2 years ago, where I went to a Chiefs game and it was the Raiders playing. And we walked up, we got seats really cheap because they sucked, and it was like $20. It was really cool. And we're sitting like, I don't know if it was club level, it was some level. And there are two things I remember distinctly about that event. One, in Arrowhead Stadium, you can get a Bloody Mary and then choose your sides. So what I ended up proceeded to do is get the Bloody Mary, and then the sides that I dumped into it was a big old slice of bacon and a chunk of beef, and I just threw it in the Bloody Mary, and I had that. It was delicious. And
I was waiting for you to say, like, when the sides, you're like, and I chose waiting pool size, so I took off my shoes and socks, and I sat in it and drank it.
I came out looking like the Washington Redskins mascot. Yeah, I know. They should change their name. It's incredibly racist having that name. What I meant to say was I came out looking like the mascot for the Washington football team. That's what I meant.
Yes.
So I
just about said a joke that probably just would have shut down the whole recording, but
I already shut it down at the end of the year.
Oh, no, this would have been worse. At the end of the year, I'm actually showing some discretion. So maybe I am growing as a person.
Well, so the other thing that I saw, and this is where it ties into the adventure that you guys are having. There was a Raiders fan right in the middle of the sea of red with his lady, and he was talking so much shit. He was running his mouth. He was talking shit with all these Chiefs fans. And, of course, you know, by the middle of the second quarter, people are drunk enough that they're not going to be inhibited. And they were just jawing back and forth, talking smack, and people fell into it, and they're like, blah, 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 blah. So, throughout the whole game, he was just running his fucking mouth. And I'll never forget. Like, that was like the game where Carson Palmer was the Raiders quarterback in and they came back from behind at the last second to win the game. But this guy, right before, as soon as that big pass happened, and then I think it was like a play or two, and then kick a field goal to win the last second for open. Right as that pass happened, the guy quickly grabbed his lady, and he got the hell out of there. And I was like, that guy is a seasoned shit talker.
Yeah.
He knew when to get the hell out of Dodge. He was running his mouth this whole game, and then he just like ninja smoked it. Poof, and he was gone right at the right time.
That was what they call a shit and run.
Exactly. So that was the two things I remember most about doing that. And see, Tim, you can have that same experience going to Oakland by talking crap. And then at the end of the game, grabbing John by the hand and running out of the stadium at the last second.
I might enter the stadium, but I certainly would not talk crap in that stadium.
No, we really debated this, and I kind of took a poll, because I work with some people who are hardcore Raiders fans, and the general consensus was that if you go in neutral colors, don't talk shit, don't identify anyone.
Don't look anyone directly in the eye.
Right, don't look at them. And don't feed them after midnight, and don't get them wet.
Don't approach them until after they smelled your hand.
but part of it was they said that if it was like one of my friends is from New Orleans, and he said that he can go to those games and they're fine, they'll just rab him. When it turns into divisional, that's when all bets are off. Like if you're in the same division as the Raiders, then they're going to just be unmerciful with you, because they look at the other teams like, oh, they're not that big of a deal.
I was gonna say you're in New Orleans. I mean, all you got to do is step outside of the stadium and look at that and see that you're in New Orleans, and you don't have to really be pissed off about anything. Oakland, that might be a little different.
It's a little rough. It's a little rough there, and like I said, I would really hate to have, I'm so excited about Tim coming to visit, and I'm like, this is gonna be great, we're gonna have so much fun. And then I was like, I would feel bad, be like, you know, driving to the airport like Tuesday morning, be like, you know, I'm sorry you can't see out of that eye or hear out of that ear anymore.
What's your man, those doctors are so quick.
I was like, yeah, I remember the first time I got hit in the face with the bicycle chain.
Have a safe flight. Oh, wait, don't forget your liver. And you give them
the liver. Yeah. You know, I'm like,
cool. Hey, I get to go through security faster with my crutches.
Unfortunately, those crutches will be shoved up your ass.
And that's the only time where faster and crutches are used together in the same sentence.
Right.
You can go in the handicap stall.
Yeah. I shit in the handicap stall anyway. I need the leg room.
You just gotta spread out, man.
I get stretched out.
You gotta stretch out. You gotta air it out a little bit. You got that swash. You want to dry off
a little bit. And it's a better height, too.
Right. And there's nothing more embarrassing than having to explain the scuff marks all in the back of the door when you're in a small one and you're just really bearing down. So you're wearing dress shoes. It looks like Fred Astaire just danced on the door. It's like all these black scuffs.
I'm sorry.
I had cheese. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm looking. I can't wait to see pictures of that from your trip, Tim.
You know what? You might get. Like, dare I say it? You might get 8mm VHS tape footage.
Oh wow.
Oh weird.
I should explain that.
I was
digging through some stuff, and or something occurred to me that day, and I found an 8mm videotape from high school in which I think I taped. There were some people who had a group of people had like an intramural soccer team.
Yeah, I remember that. I saw a couple of their games. It was fun.
I taped one of their games, and set of girls had a team. Anyway, I have this tape, but there's no way to play it. And I'm curious both, I guess morbidly curious, because it's going to be awful to watch it, but I have this thing, and I thought that, I remember throwing it in the box thinking, oh, they have those converter tapes, you can just drop the tape in and put it in the VCR. Well, that's a VHS-C tape, and a similar product for a 8mm VHS tape does not exist. And the only way to play it and get it over to somewhere else is to put it in an 8mm camcorder.
Oh.
And run a line out from that.
Okay. Nah.
Problem number two. I don't have an 8mm camcorder.
I might.
But there will be one coming.
Oh, yeah.
I found one on eBay, and I bought it.
Ooh,
how much did you pay?
Like $60.
Oh, nice.
And I ordered a couple blank. I figured it's might as well, since I'm just going to watch this one tape, it's like, well, I'll get a couple blank VHS 8mm tapes off of Amazon, which are like $2. And now I can actually, like, people film stuff with their phones, I'm going to have a big honking 8mm.
You might have to talk. I might actually have one of those.
What did we use to shoot the old video Gonzo guys on? Was that an 8mm VHS?
I'd have to look, but I have an extra tape that also has some of the Little League football that my dad...
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. The Jackson Pollock in your pants episode.
Of course. We so my dad, when I was up there for my wedding, my dad gave me one of the tapes. So he's got the whole season of him doing announcing over it. So,
oh, God, I got to see that.
I'm telling you, Tim, we're going to have to talk offline on this.
Yeah, we will address this. This is a project that we'll address offline.
So you guys, you need to put up those epidoses that before I horned it on your action when it was just the two of you guys doing the video. That's where the term...
They exist.
They're somewhere.
They're alive and well.
I might put them on the Vimeo page. I don't know. Or we don't have a YouTube page, but...
We got to do that.
Don't we have a YouTube page, don't we?
We might. I don't know.
I think we have a YouTube. We can put them up on Vimeo or YouTube, but...
at any rate, yeah.
And it was guerrilla warfare there, and we used a VHS camera. What vintage, I don't know.
So you'll be bringing an 8mm video camera out to San Francisco.
Yeah, I might.
That's awesome.
If it gets here in time, it's kind of debatable whether or not it's going to make it, but we'll see.
Getting through the TSA custom, for that one.
Custom, yeah.
You have this camera? All right, is it ticking?
Like, no, but come on now, sir, really.
Come on, I'm going to have to look at your ass.
You know, my dad said that my uncle, I just recently got a new camera. He had one of the first like home video cameras, and my dad was like, it was huge. And he said, but it was made. It's like when you use a VCR, like one that's from like 80s, and then it compares like to the 90s. The 90s it feels flimsy, and it's the same thing with VHS tapes. Like a good you know movie produced in the 80s of VHS, like those tapes are heavy and durable.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
mm-hmm.
and then after a certain point, I would say like 96 or so, they just got really cheap. Like all the things just like.
And you know what the lowest level of it, and just in build quality, I remember at Streetside Records in Manhattan, I picked up a promo VHS tape that was Buckethead, and it was like off his album that like it was a song that Les Claypool from Primus sung on, but this promo was a VHS tape, but the housing was all like cardboard. And you were actually able to play it in a VHS player, but it was just like all like cardboardy and just a little bit of plastic and stuff. And I have that around here as well somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah. It was total. I'd always go to Streetside and troll the giveaway stuff. Like they'd always have promo posters in Manhattan. I mean, each store is different, and when it closed down, it sucked. But at least there was still a Hastings there. At any rate. There was like a stage set up, and they'd always leave like extra posters that they couldn't put up, and like promotional material and shit like that. So I always fish through there and grab stuff, because I am a collector, or a pack rat, as some people like refer me to as. So yeah, no, I remember that. That the build quality could get that low for VHS tapes.
Yeah. Well, one thing that that place I will take Tim when he's here, and I took my buddy
Geisha
Terry
House?
When he was here. What?
Geisha House?
No, I don't know. I have gone to a place where I get a massage that's pretty cheap, and it's not. There's nothing like illegal about it, but I just feel like if like you said something or did some wink or certain handshake, it could be. But I don't think Tim would want to go there because Tim likes legit massages. But I won't take him to a key jump, but there is a video store that I took Terry to when he was visiting. It's called Captain Video, and it's an amazing. It's like going back to like high school, and he has like dollar VHSs and $2 DVDs. He has a ginormous porn section, which is, I think, is how he stays in business. And the guy is like this older guy from the East Coast. He's kind of weird, but he's really nice. And he told me about how it's been his business. Like, he's now outlasted Hollywood Video and Blockbuster, and he's like,
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he rents too. He rents and he sells, but he somehow has survived. It's over 20, it's like 30 some years that he's been there. But I'll take Tim there. He'll love it.
Does the porn section have an entrance way where you have to go through saloon doors to get to it?
No, it's a curtain. It's a really thinly disguised curtain. And even though I'm a gentleman of an older age, I'm still so uncomfortable going back to the curtain, and if I hear people talking, I'm like, well, it looks like I'm stuck here until they leave. I don't want to come out there and have them be like, hey, that guy was just looking at some porn.
Gives a whole new meaning to the term curtain jerker.
You just have to say, oh, I thought the men's room was back here.
I got kicked out of a Hollywood Video for wandering over to the porno section once.
How old were you when that happened?
Like 14.
22.
Oh. 22. I know. They're like, sir, you're going to have to put your pants back on. Please get out of the store.
I think that we talked about that because I remember on the show before, because I remember we were talking, I don't know how, we talked about porn and fast food a lot.
I'm celebrating Christmas right now, so I might be repeating myself just to give you guys warning.
You're celebrating Christmas with some drinks?
Yes.
I just opened up my Coors, my banquet beer, and it was perfect because I took a couple of drinks, and my cat just went over and just took a ferocious napalm shit.
Wow, so beer has a transitive property of pooping.
I don't know. And now he's just sitting on top of the bed now, and I just think of his, like, all his litter paws, like, sitting on the bed, like, you bastard.
You should pour him out a little beer and knock him out.
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad idea. But yeah, so as far as Christmas itself, I've been working a ton, so I'm probably just going to relax that day.
Me too. That's part of the reason why I'm drinking, too. The work's been a bitch. They're like, here's a project that has to be done before you go. Within a possible deadline, a timeline for it. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. So, I'm trying to forget all that I learned today. So,
I went to work at 5 this morning, and then I got done with work at 4, and I had to go to a potluck award ceremony, and I got out of that at around 6. So I'm like,
potluck.
Merry Christmas.
Potluck or pot ruck?
Oh, I wish it. That's the least punk rock place in the world. It's like their idea of punk rock would be skinny jeans and hot tops.
Oh no, I said pot rock.
Pot rock, not punk rock.
I mean, said punk rock. I was like, that's. I was like,
although
what?
Now that you mention that, I don't know if you want to do that before the movie. I did get to see some of the presents from last year, and one of the things that I watched does have something to do with punk music.
There we go. That's an amazing segue. Let's go with it.
Let's go.
Okay, so before we do our main movie, which, who picked our main movie?
Me!
And just remind us again what it is.
Santa's Sleigh, starring The Rock's accountant, Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, that's right. But before we get to that tasty, ooh, what?
Never mind.
What?
Sorry.
What?
That was just a little, just a preview little
set. Okay,
say
it again. What? Set. We have some ledgers to run over. Yes, before we get to that glorious, glorious thing, we're doing a little bit of a blast from the past. I think it was it Tim? No, it was John. John, do you have the idea? Of last year,
yeah.
I remember during the epic meltdown that I had on microphone, that we also like gave each other gifts, and as part of the gift exchange, we somehow like knew to give each other some sort of like a movie. albeit whether on DVD or video cassette. So we decided just to do a little quick rundown, a quick review, a quick relapse into last year's episodes, and talk about and review, do a quick mini review of some of these movies. So I don't know who wants to go first.
You should go first. You had the amazing segue.
Okay.
From punk rock, so
I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a hard act to follow. So I'm saying, if you want to save that to last, I'd do it. But if not, let me just go. All right.
Well, I can start if you want to come in for the finale.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's see.
All right.
I got a little surprise I'm going to spring on you guys.
I'm gonna trust your hype, so.
Okay.
No, actually it sucks. Let me just get it over. Right. Thanks. Thanks for bringing me back down to earth, Tim. All right, so, there's two movies that I picked, and I found them. I don't remember most of the episodes. So I don't remember what I got, but I had some help on that, and I remember I got a couple different things, and I got one from each, I think. So one thing I got that I watched was from a Dr. and Mrs. Jack Van Imp. Is that right,
yep.
Tim?
Yep.
Alleged Errors, Mysteries, and Contradictions in the Bible, Part 1.
Van Impy.
Yes.
Van
now, you, Tim, you sent me this. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, cool. So I watched that, not all of it, and then I watched a final 24 dramatization, Sid Vicious, His Final Hours, which we'll get to that in a second. And I also have something a little tasty to relive from last year as well. So I'm going to start out with the Imps. And this movie. So first of all, it's a VHS movie. Just a quick capsule review. I'll read the back of the box. Dr. Yes. and Mrs. Jack Van Impy are America's top team of Christian news commentators seen worldwide. Known as the Walking Bible, Dr. Van Impy is uniquely qualified to teach and explain the hard questions about what the Bible says and means. And it's from Jack Van Impy Ministries, Troy, Michigan, and in case you wanted to order this in Canada, they have a P.O. box in Windsor, Ontario. So,
ooh, thank God.
Made in 1993 by Jack Van Imp Ministries. The rights are reserved, so nobody copy this, and it's 120 running minutes. I only saw about 10 of it. I popped it in, and they started out, they set the stage. The lady is the guy's wife, and she's just there to support him, literally. Like, she starts out the show and is like, hey, here is this guy who knows everything about the Bible, and we have like pages and pages of questions that you've sent us, and now we're gonna go over some of the more common questions that you've sent us. And it's total bullshit, right? It's like, you just make up the questions on your own. But you sent us mail for it, and we're going to lob it up to this guy so he can take a swat at it and knock it out of the park for whatever Bible reasons. So that's what this lady was, and she was totally supportive. And much like our epiduses, it also seemed like they did everything in one take. So it wasn't exactly as tight or as clear, but it was nice to see them stumble over their words over some of the stuff that they're saying. And I guess it made it more genuine. The guy...
We never do that. We never stumble over our words. No way.
We never, like, move cables around and cut out of audio and come back in at the last second or anything.
We never fluff our buns, no. We don't fluff the buns.
Yes, we don't.
No.
So on to this guy. This guy has Jimmy Johnson hair. It's like a helmet. And he spent 5 minutes talking about reading all these different versions of the Bible, all these different other theological papers, establishing the fact that all he had to do was say that he read all this to make him an expert on this topic. So apparently he read a lot of stuff, and that establishes his knowledge on it. So he did that, and then the lady started firing questions at him, and after about 4 or 5 questions, it was the same kind of flow. It was all like, does this really happen, blah, 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 or is this really this way, or what is this? And then he goes on in, like, a two-minute tear about, like, what it is. Like, one thing I did learn is that the Apocrypha is actually a set of stories that were later put in into the Bible from a different version of the Bible that aren't exactly, through this guy's voice, as it, are not actually... like words of God, because they were put in like centuries later or whatever. But there are some versions of the Bible that have it. So there's stuff like that. And of course, in between all that very informative and entertaining diatribes, he holds up a Bible and he thumps it and he shakes it at the screen. So I mean,
special effects, like no lightning bolts or anything.
No tunnels of light with people like his dead relatives waving at him or anything. Nothing like that.
Well, would he see Pet Wilson in it?
Did you want the Wilson sisters?
No, Tebow Ted Wilson from The Fletch.
No.
here's a little joke.
I know you should. I love the Televangelists part in Fletch Lives, the second one, because it's the guy, the gunnery. Yeah, show the world. You think I should? I know you should.
So after about 10 minutes of that... Oh, what were you going to say, Tim?
Here's a little sample for you.
Oh, you've got a sample.
Yeah, Youth for Christ rally, and both Chuck Oman and I were with Youth for Christ, and now we have become old folks for God. But we're still ministering, hallelujah. But I saw Rexella at this rally, and boy, my heart started to pound. And I wanted to date her and found out she was going with another guy. It was a piece of prayer to get him removed. And God worked the victory out for
3 months.
Getting a little too excited.
So, and you know what?
No.
Verse 31, verses 10 to 12, is you, virtuous woman.
Virtuous woman? Oh, man. Dude, this guy has his pants.
Is that guy really old? Because he sounds like an ancient old man.
He's been doing it for a really, really long time. He really did start doing this stuff for a long time. His wife's name is Rexella, too.
Oh, God.
Rexella?
Like the wizard?
Rexella. And his little prayer there was, I had to pray for 3 months to drive the other man away so that he could date her.
Ooh.
So apparently he's got a main line into God. You just have to be persistent.
Oh, man. So speaking of main lines...
Yes.
Oh, wow, you're the king of segues tonight. Hi-yo!
So the other movie, because that movie sucked. the other movie, and actually is very more palpable to my taste, or at least my attention span. And it's a Sid Vicious's Final Hours. It's a Final 24 dramatization. Pretty much, it's like what you would see like on Discovery, or like on some B-rate cable network, where it's like it's pretty much an hour long. Like it's definitely in a show format, and I'm sure it's like who else, Tim, you would know with the one that you got. That it is a it does it in two ways. They count down to his last hours, but in like cut in between it, they talk about what led him up there. So it's like a biography / his last 24 hours. And they tell a story of Sid Vicious, which basically, he's a kid, his mom was a dope fiend and a hippie, and then they shot speed together, and then he got into a band, into the punk scene called the Sex Pistols, and then he got fucked up, and then he met Nancy...
Spungen. Spungen.
Yeah, Nancy Spungen, and then, like, she... the band broke up, they moved to New York at the Chelsea Hotel... One evening, she showed up dead with like the knife that he bought that day, but he doesn't remember a damn thing because they're heroin addicts. They got switched to heroin.
Have you guys seen Sid and Nancy, the Gary Oldman film?
I did, I saw it when I was like 8, so I have no context into when.
It's a fantastic film. It's really good. It's a really damn. Does this look good? I mean, did this look at least professional and good, or did it look shitty?
So while they're talking about this, what led up to it, what happened in the last 24 hours, they interviewed real life people in his life. You know, like an ex roadie, the ex bass player from the Sex Pistols, like one of the ladies who was in the room that evening and stuff like that. So it was interesting in that fact. It was almost like something like you'd see on the History Channel, really.
Wow, I didn't think it would look that professional. I thought I imagine it was just like some shitty art student, you know, or some guy like final thesis in film. That
no, it's a step up. It's cable network ready, is what it is. So I saw that, but the big reveal. So the big reveal was toward the end in his last minute, and that's where they like turned the tables on everybody because there was a mystery of how he died, and like they interviewed this one cop. And they also like interviewed this other this journalist where Sid Vicious's mom like had one of her last interviews before she OD'd in 96, and it pretty much all pointed that it was a mercy killing by her mom, that she gave him too much heroin and OD'd him as a mercy killing because yeah. Chances are he was going to go to prison anyway. So
yeah, because he was out on bail when he died, which is amazing to me. Like, who was able to spring him from a murder charge?
It was his manager. He had $30,000, and he just bailed him right out.
So Malcolm McLaren, the manager of the Sex Pistols, bailed him out.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So well, you know way more about it than I do, but I know enough.
Yeah, I can tell you what the original bass player is. Yeah, I. The Sex Pistols, like Never Mind the Bullets, is like I would almost say for me, it's like almost the perfect album. Like everything is good on it. But that was really the only real album they made. But I hate Sid Vicious. Like, yeah, he couldn't play. I mean, he fucked the band up big time.
Yeah.
Like when he joined, he was more just like style and like kind of a circus show side attraction. But I mean, as far as like, I like the music. You know, I like the way it, you know.
So that said, I saw John Lydon in his other band.
Public Image Limited.
Yeah, I saw them at Fun 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 Fest a couple like 2 years ago, and it was awesome. Even though he got really fat, it was really good.
Well, he's in his almost in his 70s now. He's old. He's an older gentleman now,
But Public Image Limited, I never really heard him, and then I saw them play, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, they're a good band.
Yeah, so that was that. And then, as an added bonus, if you remember from last year, you gave me Twinkies.
I
did. And I still have them.
Whoa! Those lasted maybe, like, a day. I like won that night and like two the next day and they were gone.
Now one of them has like black stuff on the corner.
I probably wouldn't eat that one.
Yeah. I would eat that one. You're gonna get into another dimension, man. It's gonna be like acid.
Actually, go to the Facebook page of Gonza Guys and you'll see the picture I posted over.
Got the one with the black stuff on it.
But this one is pretty hard. There's no black stuff on it, so let me go ahead.
That's what you said.
Let me go ahead and. Let's get into this guy.
Oh, no. You can eat a year-old Twinkie. It's not supposed to go bad.
All right. Well, it is hard as a rock. Too.
That's what she said. That's what you have to remember, too. It's like when Tim gave those Twinkies, that was when Twinkies were going to be done.
Yeah.
And they were people were selling boxes for like, you know, $5, $10 and so like a lot more. Like, and you bought this at a flea market, right, Tim?
Yep. So you know they're up to the highest quality control standards.
I bought a box of Twinkies and a Juggalo necklace.
It smells a little bit, but all right. So all right, let me grab some of this guy. All right, ow.
Suddenly we hear him choking and he dies. That'd be awful.
It's actually really juicy.
That's supposed to be, I don't think.
It also smells like gravy.
It tastes like chocolate, too.
Oh, no.
Stomach condition.
So, Tim, are you going to be okay with them? Is this admissible in court when you have to go to trial?
He ate of his own free will.
I can just imagine on day nine, they're going to be like, you can listen to this. These two men take joy as their friend is poisoned by an old Twinkie.
Mike Hoganadel's final 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mike Hoganadel, sir.
But
what did he do?
He ate a Twinkie. Christ with butter.
He ate a Twinkie. He talked to these two assholes. He took a shit and he died.
Okay.
The end.
All right. What do I see? I see. Oh, that's what I did. I gotta come clean, guys. I did not eat that. I'm fucking with you. There was no way I was going to eat that. No, I had leftover Bailey's original ice cream chocolates. That's what I ate. There was no way I was going to eat that. The black thing.
I'd eat it.
Hell no. I'll tell you what. I'll send these two to you. And
I'll eat it.
You will? You hear
I'll sit on the
next year.
I'll right, sit I'm on the toilet.
I'm gonna send this to you, and then for Christmas next year, you're gonna eat these.
No, I will sit on the toilet, and I will video it, and I will eat that on the toilet just in case it cut out the middle.
I was gonna say, is that where you do all your videos? What's so significant about the toilet?
They're particularly active Twinkies.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just gonna be like straight botulism. It's just gonna be like the Twinkie is just gonna go down me like somebody going on a water slide. It's just gonna just fly out of my ass.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, I specifically held on to them for this year, right? And the one had a little bit of a green spot in the corner, but I'm like, ooh, I wonder if it'll cultivate, and it did. But not the whole Twinkie, just the corner. But I was like, if this is like the last ever Twinkies, then I want to eat them like on the Cepedos. But then, you know, popularity, business, entrepreneurs, capitalism, we find out in the middle of this year that
they're back.
So Hostess bought them. And actually, if you get Twinkies, the big difference between the Twinkies that you gave me, Tim, and the Twinkies that we see today is that it has the fucking Hostess fucking logo printed all over each individual Twinkie. They want to make damn well sure to let you know that Hostess has Twinkies now.
Is it burned into the Twinkie?
No, it's on the packaging.
Oh, okay.
So,
that'd be awesome if it was burned into the logo, or if it was burned into it, like if it was branded. That would be kind of
cool. Like, all right, I get it. It's a Hostess Twinkie. Jesus.
They didn't seem to taste the same, though. I had some of the new ones, and they tasted, they didn't have that heaviness, you know what I mean? Like, when you would hold it, you'd be like, oh, that's a, you know, they felt lighter, and it didn't taste as good to me. I don't know, maybe I'm just being weird, but I just didn't really
taste it. Probably
you're just being gonzo.
Yeah, I just feel like, it's better with 8mm and VHS tapes and Betamax. Fuck this new Twinkie.
So,
digital Twinkie.
So, yeah, so I had this cool plan of doing it, and since it came back, it wasn't that good, but I figured I'd troll you guys anyway. So, but that said, John, if you are super serious, and let the court records show, that if you want to eat this next year,
please don't.
I'll be more than happy to send
it
your way.
Yeah, I'll eat it next year. Just, yeah, hell yeah. I'll eat a Twinkie. I'll eat the mold thing too.
I guess mold can't.
Only thing is that somebody has to take care of my cat if I die. You guys are both married. I don't have anything to live for.
And yes,
looking for a cat.
And yes, on the Gonzo Christmas, we have created the traditional Twinkie passing.
And then eventually I'll have to get a third member then, because like, well, wow, we actually killed the Twinkies. Yeah.
Twinkies caused cancer. No, the Twinkies grew cancer, and then you eat it.
After a while, in the box is just a tumor.
What if it's better? What if that is curing cancer? Ha ha, motherfuckers.
Oh, what, John? You had cancer?
Not yet. I'm gonna get a dose of it for next year, and then that Twinkie could heal it.
You're gonna get a big old heaping helping of cancer, so you can eat Twinkies and watch it melt away.
Dude, I'm around cancer all day. It doesn't. You think I'm scared of it? I got tumors on my desk.
He really does.
I really do. That's a shoot.
No, breaking kayfabe there, sir.
I'm sorry.
All right. In keeping with the Christmas tradition, I'm gonna go run and make a drink. So I'll be back.
Oh, I'm drinking beer right now. Yeah, so.
I'm gonna make another one. I'll be back shortly. So
okay.
I'll catch up with. I know. I don't know who's gonna go next, but I'll jump in and find out. So I'll be back shortly.
Okay. All right. I just, you know what? I'll go next, Tim, because you have a 24 hours of Belushi, right?
I do.
No, are you having any drinks?
Not as of this moment, I'm not. But
okay.
I didn't last year either, so.
Oh man, this cool beer
For New Year's, I most certainly will.
Soon?
No, for New Year's, I probably will. I might go down.
Yeah.
If I have any ice in the freezer, I might actually pour a little Kraken.
So. Oh, yeah, the old Kraken. Yeah, well, that stuff is good, but yeah, this Coors Banquet beer is just, it's just perfect. It's like after like a 12-hour day, and it's so cliche, but I'm like, I'm so relaxed. And I have a sleeping cat right now, it's very nifty, but so what I watched was Hoki gave me a collection of Three Stooges on DVD. Nice. And it had an amazing cover where they're in sailor suits and they all have beards.
Hey.
And yeah, and it's, which is really, it's weird. And they're kind of picking each other's beards. And so what's weird is I kept going through because it had a whole bunch of different episodes in it, and none of them are sailor related. So they just kind of threw it on there. So
cover. I've got a Three Stooges story once you get done with your review.
Okay. Well, and my question was, I meant to do a little bit of research today, but I was pretty busy, but which of them are brothers?
I think,
Are Moe and Curly, are they brothers?
I don't know, there could have been a Curly Joe and somebody else that were, I don't think the original three, or the three that people know most, I don't think were related at all.
But Shimp is
Shimp and Moe might have been related, but
Shimp and Moe. But it was really interesting because like they and this is kind of like a weird, sad philosophical. And I actually enjoyed it because it was something I haven't watched like for a long time, like the Three Stooges.
Yes, the Three Stooges.
It felt so nice and unique. Because it's just like, it's different than, there's nothing like that nowadays, besides the remake movie, which I actually heard is not that bad, which we've talked about that.
I've heard that the remake, the Farrelly Brothers did it they progressed the story along like it was connected episodes of the Three Stooges. Like, at one point they'd be gardeners, another point they'd be plumbers. There'd be this overarching story. But it was like a series of like those tiny episodes, like throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued in maybe seeing something like that.
Well, it's on demand. I've been meaning to watch the new Three Stooges movie.
Oh yeah,
but,
it's on Netflix.
It might be.
Probably it should be. But
it might be on Prime too.
It kind of made me sad to watch because when I watched the one I watched and I posted a clip of it was Disorder in the Court, and I rewound and laughed so many times the part when Curly ate shit in the chair. Because
wait.
It's at the very end of the clip I posted on our Facebook page where he's sitting in the chair and the guy gets pissed and he's like, sit. And as he sits, like, the back legs of the chair fall off the little stage and he just fucking eats it right into the wall. And I inherited my grandma Minnie, Big Min, which we've referred to Big Min a couple times. Big Min, somehow I inherited the gene from her. My grandma's bread and butter of comedy, and her favorite thing besides Ray Stevens, was watching people fall down. My grandma, like, the America's Funniest Home Videos of people falling down and getting hit in the nuts was, like, a godsend to her. She absolutely loved watching people fall down. So I was watching it, and it was strange because, like, their faces, all the Three Stooges, like, they look really haggard and old, and they kind of have that weird structure that you just don't see men that have that kind of face anymore. You know what I mean? I don't know, it sounds weird, but that really grizzled kind of factory worker kind of look from back in those times. They just look tired and depressed in a way.
From the Depression era, maybe?
Yeah. But you gotta think about, I mean, life was hard for men back then, because I was just thinking about it, it was like, back in those days, like, guys, like, would, you know, they lived really hard, and they, a lot of them had been in World War II, and had seen some really horrible shit at a young age, and then they come back, and they work these shitty jobs to provide for their family, and it was just, I was just watching it, and like, again, I'm way too philosophical about a goddamn Three Stooges episode, but it was like, I was watching it, and I was like, all of these people are dead now. like everybody like in that room, and like especially like the older people, and there was, and they had a scene when they had this woman who was doing like this dance that was like so scandalous, and she was really just kind of in a big one-piece bathing suit. But then I started thinking too, like back then there were probably kids that went to the theater and saw this multiple times because that was their version of porn. Was this woman kind of sashaying in a giant swimsuit? And so it was fun to watch and it was enjoyable, but it was just kind of a weird sadness that was kind of, so I'm not being very holiday. This is really not.
Yeah, who put a coal in your stocking, sir?
I love Christmas. I'm trying to get the Christmas food. But no, it was. I'm gonna watch some more of it. And like I said, it was what also made me think about it too was like, I mean, these guys had to be injured because there were a few things that they did just in the one episode that I watched where you could tell that stuff was really connecting. Like some of the eye pokes and some of the elbows, it was like, oh, that's really hit. Because it didn't do that comical slap. It just did that wet clay splat.
A meat slapper?
Yeah. Just, I mean, it felt like when you really punch somebody, it doesn't crack. It just kind of goes flat. You know, it makes it weird. So, anyways, but no. So that was what I watched. I was gonna watch some other things, but I simply ran out of time, and unfortunately, my new start time being 5 a.m. About 9 o'clock or so, I started getting a little sleepy. So, anyways, so three Stooges.
Hey, we got 2 hours left to go. Oh, we got 1 hour left to go. All right.
Yeah.
But with your Three Stooges story, my uncle used to go read to Larry when he was in a nursing home.
Larry was the bald with the curly hair?
My uncle volunteered at the nursing home he was in.
Wow.
And he would go talk to him and read to him.
Was he an asshole?
No, he said he was just another old guy, and he just happened to know who he was. And
Did he ever hit him over the head with an egregiously large wrench?
No, I think the whole thing was he couldn't really see enough to read, so he'd go read him stuff and talk to him and hang out with him. And,
wow!
And yeah, he'd go talk to Harry.
Now, was your uncle still reading and taking care of him, or you know, being his companion when he died?
I think he was. I don't know how long he did it. I don't remember if he said he was there until he died, or if he did it for a while and then. I think he might have been around until he died.
Now, so was this a nice nursing home? I mean, did Larry save his money? I mean, did he have?
From what I understand, he wasn't. He was in a nursing home, so somebody was paying for that because it was, you know, this is back in the 70s, probably.
Okay.
I don't know when Larry died exactly, but I don't remember if he said. I think he had a family and stuff, so I don't think he was like totally alone. I think he just kind of would go in and talk to people. So I don't think it was like a destitute thing. I'd have to ask him for sure, but it's one of those weird stories you kind of forget about until it comes up. But
you know, I just thought of a weird story too. When I was in college, my friend Steve and I were at a McDonald's, and these family came in, and they had these two weird kids with them. And they had this kid, I will always remember this, they had this kid with him, that he had a weird bowl haircut, and he had a giant oversized t-shirt with Moe's face on it, and he was carrying like this giant yearbook size thing of a book about the Three Stooges, and he was obviously was like, you know, something was a little off in this fella, and as he was, they came walking in, and he kept grabbing his little brother, and he goes, how about this? How about this? You like me now? How about this? He kept grabbing it and pulling this kid. And his little brother was just terrified. I just always remember that visual. It's like every time I see Mo, I think of, how about this? How about this?
Oh, wow.
His older brother is permanently stuck in Mo.
He was basically Mo Jr. Little Mo.
Oh, man.
So anyway, look it up, Stooge, for me.
That's the Stooges. Maybe I'll do this other one next time. I was going to try to get two, but I got the final 24 hours of John Belushi DVD watched. And I was going to watch the Howard Lederer How to Play Poker DVD, but I will have to save that for the New Year's edition. But it's on my on deck pile. But the final 24 hours thing, I will second. It is like lower tier cable channel worthy show. They do a little bit of history about the performer, and then they talk a little bit, and they talk to people who know him. I was surprised that the interviewer, the people they got to interview for the Final 24 for John Belushi, they got Dan Aykroyd.
Whoa.
And they have John Belushi's wife.
Well, okay. So I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you watched that, because I was kind of wondering while I was watching the Sid Vicious one, I was like, I wonder how this compares. I wonder how this stacks up with the John Belushi one. Because I did, you know, I went through a whole 24 hours. You know, he got bailed from jail for killing his love of his life, and he's going to OD and shit. To like, how would they do the last 24 hours of John Belushi? And then they interview people like, who the hell are they going to interview? Now, it makes sense, like Dan Aykroyd, right? Because that motherfucker's doing Blues Brothers radio shows and then Alien TV shows, so he's perfect for that. So, but like, did they get anybody else? Like, was Jim Belushi part of it, or?
No, they got no Jim Belushi, but his wife, who was with him at the time, I guess it was his wife, and then they interviewed his agent, Bernie Brillstein.
Wow.
Who seemed like an asshole. Let's say that.
Semite.
Bernie Brillstein gave him the $1,800 that he used to buy his like speedball stuff to kill him.
Yeah, so speedball is, it's heroin and cocaine mixed. And
yes.
Did he shoot it or snort it?
No, he was the according to the show, and now the other featured interview, which was annoying, was Dr. Drew.
Oh, I hate that guy.
And he just kept, and every time they come back to me, basically said the same thing.
Well, so okay, like, so that's it. In the Sid Vicious one, they had like some kind of like court psychiatrist guy who was kind of scraggly haired, and he was all like, he was like Captain Obvious. He's like, if I had the choice, I probably wouldn't have released him from jail. I was like, no shit, Sherlock. Way to go.
Wow.
But like, okay, so like, what was the last 24 hours? What happened in the last 24 hours?
Okay, so John Belushi's last 24 hours. The backstory was he didn't use a lot of drugs when he was younger. He had a lot of energy. He was very driven, blah, 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 blah. At some point during Saturday Night Live, they started doing cocaine and going to wild parties and Studio 54, blah, 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 blah.
I read a book about Saturday Night Live back in its heyday. Like, it was like an oral biography. Yeah. And those people were out of control. Like, all of them were just cokeheads and just...
Not Jane Newman, but who was the other one? The really bony...
Lorraine Newman?
Yeah, Elaine Newman. Yeah. Who was the other one? Who was the one that was really bony?
I don't know. There was, like, Gilda Radner.
Jane Curtin.
I think the first one was right. Elaine Newman was really skinny.
The bony one?
Yeah, she had a big nose.
She looked like she was on the drugs.
Yeah, they all were.
They were all on something. But he was doing a lot of cocaine.
So was Don Pardo. Someone give me my smack!
If you had that, yeah, you'd have to. But so he was basically, the contention from his friends and family is that he was solely hooked on snorting cocaine.
Yeah.
And for a while he actually hired a bodyguard to keep him from doing cocaine while he toured for the Blues Brothers.
Yikes.
He hired a guy to do it, and he actually had to fight. His bodyguard was like an ex-police officer, and he would fight with John Belushi every time he tried to get cocaine. Like, they'd have to wrestle him to the ground. But he kept him clean for the whole tour, and then he quit at the end of the tour. And anyway, he would go on binges and he'd slip a little bit, whatever. He had some like good times, bad times, blah, blah, blah. But then he goes to Los Angeles to go talk to these studio execs about making another movie. It'd been 3 years since he kind of peaked with Animal House and Blues Brothers and some other stuff. So he goes out there. His wife had conceded he probably was going to binge on cocaine and stuff. The story, according to their little thing, is that he went out and met these junkie people after he went to go talk about the movie with Michael Eisner, maybe? Somebody. Uh-huh. And his agent, Bernie Brillstein, goes in. He doesn't want to do this movie. It's called The Joy of Sex, this movie they wanted to do. And he didn't want to do it. He thought it was hack. So he said he wasn't going to do it. But then he asked Bernie Brillstein for $1,800 to buy a guitar. He wasn't going to buy a guitar. The guy knew he wasn't going to buy a guitar. He gave him $1,800.
Wow.
sends him out. He drives around. He goes, finds these low-level kind of street dealer women, and this one lady's kind of a major, somewhat of a major dealer, and so they spend the rest of like the evening going around and picking up coke, doing coke and buying coke, and then he supposedly that night that he died, he chose to do heroin for the first time. And so he started doing speed. They went to this bar, and they would go in like four or five times, and she would shoot him up with speedballs, which are heroin and cocaine. And so they did like they said, according, because they caught, they put the lady in jail for involuntary manslaughter.
Wow.
So they arrested her for that. But she, according to the account, she injected him with like, he did like five speedballs in like this room, maybe like 5 p.m. to like 10 or 11 p.m.
Wow.
And then he just kept going. And so they got around to like, he was still alive like at 3 in the morning. He was passed out and he'd thrown up and a bunch of other stuff back at the hotel, the Chateau Marmont. And he like threw up, passed out, then woke up and she gave him another speedball.
Oh, that does make sense.
That makes sense. Well, and yeah. So then he said he felt cold and tired, so she put him in bed, and then she stayed there till like the morning and ordered room service and got toast and stuff, and she left. She packed up her kit, her drug kit, and left. She peeked in on him, and he was snoring, and she thought he was fine, so she left. And then he had asked the movie company, because in the middle of his binge, he called the Paramount people and said he'd do the movie. And asked for a wake-up call and told him to call him at noon and send his assistant over to get him. And so his assistant comes to get him, and he comes in, and it's all trashed, and he realizes he's not hearing him snore, and so he goes in the room and tries to wake him up, and he's dead. And so
did they have reenactments of this, too?
Yeah, oh yeah. The guy they had actually looked kind of like him. And
I feel like I let you guys both down by giving you actually well-produced...
Well, and on that note, so I dug around a little bit. Final 24 was actually a television series.
Son of a bitch.
Here you go. It's on a Wikipedia page. It's a Canadian documentary series which airs on the Discovery Channel and Global Television Network. Released in Canada in 2006, the series explores the last 24 hours of the life of a person, usually a celebrity. The series is narrated by Canadian voice artist Dave McRae and Danny Wallace in the UK. There's been 15 episodes. Do you want me to go ahead and run down the list?
Yeah, I want to give it
up. All right. Number one was Sid Vicious. Two was John Belushi. So we did those, right? Those are the first two, right? Here's ones that they've done as well. They did River Phoenix.
Wing Talbot.
Wing Talbot. He's still alive.
Wait, he's still alive. Damn it.
So they did River Phoenix.
No.
Marvin Gaye.
No.
John F. Kennedy Jr.
Who is it?
JFK Jr.
The guy plane crash.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'll say the name and you tell me the cause of death because that's a column in this table.
Right. Okay. So what was it? The one you just said before I can hear it. It's like you said John Candy.
No, River Phoenix.
Overdose.
River Phoenix. That's heroin.
Drug induced heart failure. All right. Marvin Gaye.
Murder.
The dad shot him.
That's right. Ding ding ding. Done. John F. Kennedy Jr. Tim already got that plane crash. All right. Hunter S. Thompson.
Suicide.
Yes. Ding 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 ding. Ding. Suicide by what? Gun? Yeah. All right.
Yes. Of course.
All right. Natalie Wood.
Ooh,
Tim got it. Ding, 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 ding.
Who was it? I couldn't hear it. No, what is it?
Natalie Wood.
Oh, damn it. Cannonballing.
All right. Cannonballing. All right. Gianni Versace.
Murder?
Death. Just normal death.
Okay. Okay. All right. Johnny How was he murdered?
By a dick.
All right. I'll give it to John. He was shot by someone else. All right. All right. Jim Morrison.
Just being a fat slob.
I'll give it to John again. Heart failure. Heart failure.
Yeah.
No autopsy was performed. All right.
Yeah, okay.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Being a fat slob.
And I guess that wins too.
Anyway. What was your guesses?
Overdose.
Being a fat slob.
Yes, Tim. Ding, 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 ding. Accidental drug overdose.
Accidental.
Right. And then Janis Joplin.
Asphyxiation. She choked on her own barf from whiskey.
Janis Joplin, or is that
Janis Joplin?
Janis Joplin. Yeah, she was...
You were wrong. Tim, what is it? You
drug
what?
Overdose.
Drug overdose. Bing, 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 bing.
No, you're thinking of the Mamas and the Papas lady. She choked on her own vomit.
That's actually, yeah. But you know what? That's the ham sandwich. I just found out that's actually not true about Mama.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix died.
No.
Jimi Hendrix choked on his own.
Jimi Hendrix, and so did Bon Scott from AC/DC. Boy, this is the worst Christmas movie.
All right. So keeping in the spirit, Keith Moon.
What's that? Was it drug overdose?
He choked on his own puke, right?
Tim, drug overdose.
God. I want someone to choke on their own puke.
You're not going to win with the death by puke. It's just not going to work for you.
What about the fat slob?
Fat slob you're doing pretty good with. So that's...
I know.
All right, here's your next one. Nicole Brown Simpson.
Murder.
She was decapitated by a running back.
Damn it. John. I'm going to have to do a push on that. She was stabbed to death. All right. The next one, David Koresh.
The Waco kid.
Either he was shot or he burned up in the fire.
He's burned up, wasn't he? Yeah. Burned up.
Suicide. Now, we're going to have to talk about this, right? Because...
That's conspiracy. That's bullshit.
That's tinfoil hat shit, right?
Yeah.
They said that he burned the place down so he couldn't get out or whatnot. But but there's footage... released of tanks shooting flames of fire out at the house as they were storming it. Thank you, Bill Hicks, who died of cancer, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, you know what? I just finished, 2 days ago, I just finished a biography about Bill Hicks.
Yeah, but he went on public access TV and talked about how the ATF shot flames out of the tank and burned the house down with all the people in it.
Towards the end of the book, when he's actually dying of cancer, Bill Hicks says that he took a road trip with one of his friends out to the Waco compounds to look around. That was one of the things he wanted to do before he died.
Oh, wow. Yeah, all right, so last one, because we're going to end this one on a high note. Tupac Shakur!
Nicky got shot.
Yes, although it's...
No.
Oh, wait.
No, that's not true. He actually, Tupac Shakur... died from a hugging incident. He was really a sweet man, and he was hugging people, and he didn't die a violent death.
You should have just said ham sandwich.
or as my dad's hack joke that he likes to say, Tupac Shakur died of acute lead poisoning.
It was complications from gunshot wounds, which is a weak-ass freaking explanation. He got shot and killed.
You know what an interesting story is?
Since when is death a complication from a gunshot wound?
If you die with a bullet, you got shot.
Yeah.
And you know what Tupac got? He got shot in New York when he came out. He got robbed. And he got shot several times when he's coming out of a studio. And he actually supposedly left the hospital way too early. And he actually supposedly, it's not confirmed, lost one of his nuts because of it, because of the infection.
Oh, wow.
So
I'd turn the gun on myself at that point.
Just blow the other one off to make it a pair.
That's right. I'll get some dog nudicles. I'll have some fake balls there.
Or you could just go for the old James Gum and just do the old Tuckaroony.
Oh, all right, so...
Merry Christmas, Jamie Gum!
Merry Christmas! So that was our impromptu Dead in 24 trivia power moment. So, that's awesome. So, you saw, Tim, the John Belushi one. One thing really quick, you know Don Pardo is still alive?
I know,
He was born in 1918. And
he
retired in 2004, and he lives in Tucson, but Saturday Night Live either flies him out or lets him record from home, and he still announces for Saturday Night Live.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't help but drop that little knowledge nugget into your toilet bowl.
Jesus Christ.
Don't flush. That's a little nugget that we need to keep.
Yeah. So, anyway... And, yeah, that was Lorraine Newman that was the crackhead. She looks a lot better now that she actually eats food and not does drugs.
Is she still alive?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was sure she. If you said pick one of these people on the Saturday Night Live cast, who's going to die?
Yeah. Well, she would. No, there was a character from Saturday Night Live that died in the movie that we watched right at the beginning.
Hi-yo! With your people?
Segway! Unless Tim got anything else.
You're nailing it.
Hang on. Everybody listen carefully.
I give my Segway powers to Buck. Sounds like a flying pig. Hey, hey, hey!
And you know what? And you know what that means when you hear the laughing and that music? It means this.
It means that you're next.
All right, John. Oh, this is your movie. Lay it on us, homie.
I decided I wanted a good Christmas movie, and for some reason I realized in the last 2 years I've been watching a lot of horror films, and you could go for the obvious Christmas choice of Black Christmas, which is and there's some other really weird Christmas movies, but I figured since we all bonded over wrestling when we first met.
When you say when you say horror films, do you mean horror like ah, or horror like ooh la la?
I don't know if there are any horror Christmas films, because I would probably be interested in that. I do know that there are some Santa Claus themed kind of porns with elves and stuff. But I mean horror films like scary, yeah, like Black Christmas.
The Black Christmas is there was the movie that we watched last year.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yes.
It was a good one.
Ooh, that one's scary. I think Silent Night, it scared the shit out of me as a kid.
There's one that we, I don't know, there's a sacred one called Jack Frost as well.
Yeah, I've seen that one. That one is just, for me, like a good horror film, it's not about like gore, and it's not about like jumping, like things jumping out and scaring you. I don't like a lot of scary movies. I like kind of more cerebral ones. But I decided I wanted something to be kind of fun, and actually, when you really come down to like me becoming friends with Tim had to do with wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and so I was just like, well, you know, and
well, that's how I first met you too, is like at a wrestling pay per view.
Right. So it's like I figured, like, you know, in the whole, I'm trying to put this back on the Christmas rails, because I'm like, oh, this is like a downer Christmas. I'm like Joy to the World. Two of my favorite people in the world. We bonded with wrestling and bad movies. This is a culmination of all of them together. It's Santa's sleigh.
Santa's sleigh. Oh yeah, with Bill Goldberg.
And I have to say, I really, I don't know if it's just because I was in a really good mood when I watched it and I was feeling pretty good, but I found the movie extremely enjoyable. I had a great time watching.
It was mercifully short. I liked it.
Yeah, exactly.
They tried to make a 2-hour epic. So, mm-hmm. God bless them.
But it starts off right out of the gate. It kind of confused me because there was, I mean, I wouldn't say it was A level, but I would say B+ star power in the opening scene.
Hey, James Caan, all right?
I bet. Well, no, but James Caan is an A, but then, like, Fran Drescher and, like, Rebecca Gayheart are, like, B, C+.
I mean, you know my love of Fran Drescher from the Dr. Detroit episode. So,
yeah. Oh, she looked great, too, in this, though.
She aged well, that's all I gotta say.
Oh, it's funny. So the other girl, was that Tracy Gold?
No.
The one who used to be in the Father Downing mysteries? Tracy something?
I don't know. I put a note in that. It's like, I recognize all these characters except for the two other ladies there. It's like,
I didn't know those other two ladies. And then you had Chris Kattan and then Rebecca Gayheart. Ooh. I think the other two. I don't know who they were.
Oh, and for those of you not know, Rebecca Gayheart, of course, was the Noxzema girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she was just beautiful. Do you remember one of the only funny things I ever really, like, I wasn't a huge Wayne's World fan, but I remember in one episode when they were showing her washing her face over and over in slow motion from the Noxzema commercials. And so, yeah, she's a good-looking gal.
Oh, yeah.
Who hasn't really done a whole lot other than Noxzema commercials. She's been in a couple things. Like, didn't she, like, I Still Know What You Did last summer or something like that? Or?
Oh, I don't know. I could look real quick.
Nah, it's not even worth it.
So, it's this opening scene. So, they're all at the table, right? Eating dinner?
Yeah. And they all just hate each other.
Yeah, they're kind of a piece of crap little family.
Yeah. And then James Caan calls Chris Kattan something that I didn't think that you could really get away with calling people in movies anymore.
What do you call? He called him what, half a faggot?
Yep.
Half a fag. Call them half a fag.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just
little half.
Seems really offensive in this day and age, like to call somebody a half a fag.
Yeah, that's there's some oversensitivity going around. That's why this movie was enjoyable. They didn't take themselves seriously at all or anything.
Yeah.
So it just
starts off like right out, like they're arguing, and then Santa Claus comes in. And it's Bill Goldberg, and he's all, I couldn't see if his hair was dreaded, but his beard definitely looked kind of matted.
Oh,
and
totally.
He just goes about just fucking killing these people, and he burns up your girlfriend, and then he drowns her in eggnog, and then, what did he do to James Caan? Oh, he stabbed his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he do to the dog? Did he do anything to
the
dog?
He kicked
the
dog.
Oh!
He kicks the dog in the fireplace. He stabs.
No, they kicked the dog into the ceiling fan.
And it threw it in, and it kicked it back into the fireplace. And then he stabbed James Caan's hands. And then he killed everybody else. And he came back to James Caan. And he stuck a turkey leg in his mouth. And then smashed his head on the table face down.
God, that's gross.
Isn't it awful? It's. Oh, my goodness. And Robert
did
this too. So.
Here's the question, though. How did they get these people to be in this film?
I think this is where, like, I instantly drew a parallel to the movie that we saw previously. But not Trinity, but Dead and Breakfast.
Yes.
Oh, the Halloween one?
Yeah. There is a lot of similarities. It seems like someone phoned in a lot of favors, and they blew their wad, like, at the beginning. And I thought, oh, okay, it's all done. No more cool cameos. Now we're gonna have a bunch of no names, and Goldberg's gonna kill him. I was wrong, but
yeah,
that's where it started like percolating in my head. It's like, oh god, it's another Dead Breakfast. And there are some other things in this movie that lean toward Dead and Breakfast in terms of some other stuff that we'll get to, but thankfully it did not. And I guess that's my take on this movie, is that this is what Dead and Breakfast should have been in terms of the proper cocktail of seriousness, musical breaks, and, like, violence. So,
well, and here's the other thing that Dead and Breakfast didn't have that this has, which just blows it away, they had fucking puppets in this thing.
Oh,
they had,
yeah.
Yes, they did.
They had the traditional, like, rolling bats looking
animation.
Yeah.
Okay, so
to tell the origin story, and they didn't get bogged down in the bullshit origin story where they're like, oh, the Moose Angel came down, and they just said, oh, hey, there's these two dudes, and there's one good, one's bad, they did this fucking curling, and this guy won, and they did it with fucking puppets, which is awesome.
Yeah, so let's get to that, right? So Goldberg shows up out of the blue, right, in this thing, and he punches through the chimney, he kills them all, he didn't say you're next. He's like, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, or something like that.
Which gave him a lot of good, corny one-liners.
Yeah, so, he lit Fran Drescher's hair on fire. That was awesome.
Drowned her in eggnog.
Yeah. So I thought at that moment that was the best part of the movie. I'm like, oh, they blew their wad right there, right? Well, they started the movie, and then they got into this town, and, of course...
And the town's called Hell Haven, by the way.
No, Hell Township. It's
Hell Township. What did they say Haven? Where the fuck did that come from?
I have no idea. Anyway, we get the story of this young boy and young girl. Obviously, you got a thing for each other, even though their acting is terrible. And then the guy that's running the story, he plays the Jewish guy, Mr. Green. That guy, that guy's been in some movies too.
He's been in
Unforgiven, Warehouse 13, True Romance.
Oh yeah, he's the reporter guy in Unforgiven.
Yeah,
the one who's taking the notes.
So he was actually a legitimate actor, right? And of course he's like, "Merry Christmas, kids!" And he gives him presents, and the kid gets like a stupid world clock. And they leave the store, and of course he puts up his the Hanukkah candle, the menorah, right? And it's like, okay, I see what they're setting up here. So they do that, right? And then this is where it kind of scared me again with Dead and Breakfast, right? Like, the lady is driving the guy home, right? The protagonist home.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, fake rap music is coming. We're doing a rap song and stuff and listen to our song. And I'm like, oh, God, no, please, God, no. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. It was close, but they didn't do it.
Yeah, I've got a question.
Go ahead.
My question is this. That very scene when she's driving him home, they leave the store. He's putting his shit in the back of the truck.
Uh-huh.
She gets in the car and pulls out toothpaste and then, like, you know, kind of like does the, you know, street brush your teeth, you know, squeezing toothpaste.
Right, and it puts out the window. Yeah.
And spits it out. Why?
She wants him.
She's going to kiss him,
she
dude.
She put a move on him once he got in the car.
No, because she was waiting for him to put a move. That was the whole point.
Yeah, come on, Tim.
He was such a wet noodle this whole movie with her.
Well, no, yeah, he was totally a wet noodle. I was thinking perhaps when they cut the movie that they left out the scene where, like, they went out to the truck and she blew him and then he went in the
Now, that would have been a very Merry Christmas, although he gave her the 20.
Tim, I cannot believe that you went down that path, you dirty birdie.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, well, maybe they're obviously like a couple, so maybe he went out there and he's kind of a dickwad, so he'd probably be the kind of guy to be like, hey, you can do that, but we're not going to be, you know, lovey-dovey.
Wait a minute, you thought that the main character, the kid, was a dickwad? I thought he was cool. I liked him.
I think he was kind of a dick.
I liked him!
I'm sorry.
So in your mind, Tim, so you thought that when... that they cut out of that he gave her the 20-pound hat, which you know what the 20-pound hat is, right?
This coming from the guy who's in his celebrity death movies.
Fast forward for 20.
Damn ham sandwiches.
I was like, well, maybe I missed something. I rewound it to make sure there wasn't any other setup. I'm like, why else would she be brushing her teeth while she's in the driver's seat and then double-checking, like, her, you know, face?
Did you kept rewinding it, thinking you missed something? You're like, wait a minute. There's a blowjob scene in here somewhere.
It's kind of like when you're a real little kid and you would try to look over the TV screen to see, like, the cleavage side and see if there's boobs on the other side and stuff like that.
I couldn't wrap my mind around why she was doing that, because they got in the car and there was that zero chemistry, so I'm like, well, that's obviously not happening, but
she wanted it.
He had a mistletoe belt and he gave her a 20-pound hat.
And then, he put his gear back in the truck and they went home.
Merry Christmas.
so obviously he failed to make a move. Tim was hoping for a beach, and it didn't happen.
Trying to figure it out.
Obviously, we're all disappointed. I'm a little relieved, although not the kind of relief you get from a beach, that they didn't do, like, the bad rap music musical number. That's great.
Who's this beach? Is he that guy who was in that show with the bear?
Yes. Oh, I'm kind of a bear, too, and I could use...
I'm definitely a bear. I have a beard right now. I am so bear material.
I got to see a picture of this, then. Not for anything nefarious. I just was like, you're more hairier than me. I'm jealous.
But only nefarious if you start brushing your teeth in the car with toothpaste out of nowhere.
Well, you are coming out to visit,
exactly,
and I will be driving you around.
Tim, if you see him do that... You know, make sure he takes the long scenic route on the way home.
I can just imagine Tim's like, okay, he's got toothpaste. Is he brushing his teeth? Is going to try to kiss me, or is he going to blow me?
It's like, oh, I'm so glad I trimmed and shaved.
No, let it go. I'm into bears, probably. If I had to be, I wouldn't want a twink. I'd take a bear.
I'll send you a twink in the mail, sir, so don't worry about that.
Just make sure you open it. I don't want him to get, get cranky.
It's got a little black spot on the twink, too, so that should be good to heave down your throat.
Hey, I'll work around it.
Oh, man.
All right.
So
let's get back on track.
So the kid, this is the thing that threw me out. I was never a latchkey kid, and it seemed like that what it would have been to me in real life is like what it would have been in this movie when this kid got home, because he had to like enter in key codes and he had two different sets of keys to unlock stuff to get to the real key or something, and they got in there.
Right.
I don't know. Were you guys latchkey kids? Because I wasn't.
Yep, I was.
I worked both sides of that a little bit, because sometimes there was a period of time when I wasn't, and there was a period of time when I did come home by myself and just kind of took care of things.
Yeah.
After brushing your
teeth. Well, I have a sister who's 2.5 years older than me, so that was kind of my sitter. So my sister and I always just, I can't even remember about having a babysitter after school.
Yeah.
We always just came home and like, and in the summer, the greatest thing about being a summer the latchkey kid was we basically would get up in the morning, we'd watch Price is Right, and then we'd go swimming all day.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do whatever I wanted during the summer. You just go. You just get up and go, and I'd walk, there's a movie theater by my house, and I'd go up and do that, or I'd go swimming, or
it was a great time, right before the time you were just old enough to get a job. And that was good days.
My other activities in the summer was calling the 800 numbers in the backs of commercial products in the house and making fake complaints.
Wow.
I was waiting for you to go down the porno route, be like calling 900 numbers.
Those were my innocent days where I just made crank calls.
Although that'd be kind of cool if you made a call to the porno number and complained about their service.
You know, this was one 220-pound hat. There was too much teeth. Not good.
It's like, sorry, I just didn't really get. I didn't. You guys didn't provide the picture well enough for me to really enjoy the entertainment. She was rude over the phone.
you should be ashamed to call yourself pornographer.
So one of the things I noticed about this movie, and they shone it on through, is like, good job. Wait, great for the direct product placement when the kid runs to the fridge and he had just choose between Pepsi and Mug Root Beer. I'm like, yeah, right in the camera. Product placement. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
I would have went with a mug. I don't know why he grabbed the Pepsi, but I was still like, yay.
He's Pepsi.
Oh, I love Mug Root Beer. So good.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had a root beer float in a long time. That sounds really good right now.
I can't have root beer floats because I might have told this before in the podcast, but I have an infamous uncle named Uncle Ken. He kind of looks like Uncle Fester with a cowboy hat. And
Uncle Fester with a cowboy hat is a great song title, by the way.
Well, actually, because when my dad actually took an Uncle Fester action figure, it was a flashlight that came in the Adams Family cereal, and my dad actually put a little cowboy hat and put my uncle's ranch logo on that action figure, so he made an Uncle Ken action figure.
Oh, wow.
God damn, I just lost my train of thought. Holy shit, I'm tired.
Root beer, you don't drink root beer floats because...
Oh, yeah, because a lot of times, like in the summers, like he would come home from working out in the field, and he would get buck naked and eat a root beer float in his recliner.
Oh, God. Was it leather?
So now when anyone says it was one of those, like, kind of pleathery kind of...
Did you ever sit in that after you knew about that?
Hell no, I didn't sit in it. I sniffed it a few times, but I never sat in it.
Well, you know, curiosity does kill the cats.
Yeah, curiosity does kill your sense of smell for up to 2 weeks, but it's like...
Oh, man.
But the kid's grandpa is basically a paranoid adventure, and I didn't realize what was the name of the actor who played the grandpa.
It was Robert Culp.
And he was great. And what shows was he in?
He was in Ice Spy, Greatest American Hero. He was opposite Bill Cosby in I Spy.
Okay, that was the one, yeah.
That is like, that's a classic guy. I'm like, how did they pull in that favor? That was the moment I realized, okay, this is actually like a legitimate movie.
Don't forget about Pastor Timmons.
Well, we're getting there, right? So, yeah, so Grandpa... Oh, John, I thought of you in this scene, right? Where he's hanging out with Grandpa, and Grandpa walks up the stairs and he stops for a second. And then he cuts a fart and he lets it simmer there. And he's like, well, I told you I said I was sorry. I was like, that's a John joke.
He cropped that, but... Oh yeah! Actually, I wrote that part of the script. They brought me in for just that that one. That's kind of my specialty. You have people who punch up jokes and materials. I'm kind of on the fart phone. And if you need to, you know, punch up a script with a good fart joke, they give me a call.
So anyway, he goes through his uncle is a his grandpa is like a weird inventor. And he comes up with, like, Rube Goldberg device type inventions and shit like that. And he's just, he's an all-around goofy guy. So, you know, he's very endearing and whatnot. And, like, the lady shows up, right? It's like, here you go, Merry Christmas. And, like, because, you know, she brushed her teeth before she came into the house. So, you know, she was looking for something. And the thing that jumped out to me is, like, a kid at the store said all he really wanted as a kid was, like, a Transformer. So then, like, the lady shows up and is like, here you go. And it's like a Glock. And it's like, what the hell is this? And then she, like, folds open and proceeds to transform. The worst fucking Transformer I've ever seen in my life.
I have to say, so his delivery was funny because she hands the gun to him and he goes, oh, you gave me a gun. He goes, thank you. And are you out of your fucking mind? His deadpan delivery was really good on that one.
Well, no, he said the another term that is kind of a no-no anymore. He said, are you fucking retarded?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, sorry, yeah. Fucking retarded,
You can't really say that anymore.
No, you can't. But I was enamored the fact that it was a Transformer and all you did was unfold the gun in half and there was like a guy and that was it.
It's like a Transformer like you would get him in a Happy Meal.
Yeah, except it wasn't a Glock, which again makes it the worst Transformer ever. Because if you're carrying that thing around, a cop's gonna fire first. You can't just fold it in half and say it's a Transformer.
Yeah, because you had a shitty Transformer.
Yeah. No, that was terrible. But he got it, and of course he didn't get any play again. And so. Tim, who showed up as the priest?
Old Pastor Tim.
Dave Thomas.
There you go.
I love Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas is one of the most underrated straight men kind of delivery guys. I love Dave Thomas. I think he's not. We're not talking about Wendy's Dave Thomas.
No. We're talking about SCTV. I love SCTV Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, so great.
The Great White North.
Oh.
Bob and Doug McKenzie. What was the other thing I saw him in? And he was in Moving with Richard Pryor.
He was in Arrested Development.
Was he in
Arrested Development?
Yeah.
I don't watch Arrested Development.
Oh, well, I can't talk to you anymore.
I'm a communist. I'm a card-carrying communist. I don't like Arrested Development. We've talked about this. Tries too hard.
Yeah. All right. So
tries too hard.
All right. So
tries too hard.
So Dave Thomas is a pastor, and he's doing pastory things, not unlike the impies that I talked about earlier, where he's stomping Bibles and stuff like that, right?
So he's not doing all pastorly things.
Now, okay. While this is happening, right? Goldberg Santa is running around town killing people. Like, he just shows up out of the blue. It's kind of weird, because he's just kind of in the background. I kind of feel like at this point in the movie, they're just, like, trying to cut in scenes of him killing people before people get bored too much. So, the first scene, like, there's really pissed off grandma, which, sorry, John, I thought of you again.
My grandma wasn't that mean.
No, but I was like, that's something that John could kind of, like, identify with. The grandlady is like, a real bitch, and she's like, Merry Christmas, and go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I was laughing. It might have been because I'd only had about 3 hours of sleep, but I was really laughing. And because she was complaining about the price of the roast beef sandwich, and they just went so over the top with her surliness, though, which I thought with that character they were going to make her, where she was like, well, people don't really understand the true spirit of Christmas. And then she was like, well, don't fuck yourself.
And that was the conflict, right?
Here, let's have a little bit of the old lady. She doesn't live very long.
Tell that goop to put some Christmas decorations up.
How you doing there, Mrs. Talbot? How are you? That's a roast beef sandwich, it's $4.75.
That's with the senior discount?
Yes, it is.
What a hustle.
Did $4.50 make you any happier?
$4.50.
There you go. And have a very happy holiday there, Mrs. Talbot.
Don't use that political language shit with me. It's Christmas. Wish me Merry Christmas.
I'm sorry. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Talbot.
Thank you, and go fuck yourself.
Still funny.
And she, and on the way out the door, she calls the girl a whore, just in case. And then she's trying to smoke a cigarette and swerving all over the road.
Yeah, she's driving an Impala, and all of a sudden Goldberg and his buffalo-like sleigh rider show up out of nowhere and pop her off the road and kill her. And it's like, okay. All right, so they tease the fact that this Goldberg Santa guy is hanging around town. Like, he'll end up killing somebody or something happens, but he's just floating around town for whatever reason. And actually, we'll find out later on, credit to the guy who wrote and directed this movie. But, so that's happening. So Dave Thomas obviously starts calling out people. Next thing you know, it's the evening. Dave Thomas shows up at where?
The strip club.
Hell yeah.
What was the strip club called?
Gold Diggers.
Didn't they have
Gold Diggers.
Gold Diggers.
Featuring the Klondikes.
Yes.
Oh.
That's right.
They had some... And I appreciate the fact, too, that this movie, like, the language they didn't skimp on, and they didn't skimp on the nudity. They just kind of went for it.
I was so happy. I put it in all caps.
I was very surprised that showed up. I thought, look at that.
That makes even, like, for a movie of this genre, where it's, like, horror, but it's not taking itself seriously,
you gotta have
some boobs in it. It's just, like, it's almost required. Like, because it's equal parts... horror, comedy, and sexuality, and it's perfect, and it's a great mix.
I didn't think this movie was really, I mean, the first scene was a little gross, but it didn't really go for the whole gross-out factor. I mean, because there wasn't like...
It's for a little blood here and there.
But it wasn't like there weren't guts and entrails hanging out.
And that goes back to your introduction. It's a fun movie, and we're having fun with Dave Thomas all of a sudden at the titty bar making it rain. And then Goldberg pulls up in a sleigh and hands the keys to the valet. And then, of course, he gets in the fight with the guy who looks like he's, like, a jobber. And he kills him. He rolls into the bar, and all of a sudden he's just, like, Santa starts some shit. And, of course, we see the typical scene where the one lady, like, is scared and screaming and running away, but somehow she pauses just enough to bounce up and down in front of the screen and run away again later on.
Well, what about the amazing scene too that Goldberg like swings across the stage or something with his face buried in a woman?
Yeah, and then he got off the chair, and then he did like the Hulk Hogan look when Tiny Lister grabbed his junk and
hey, give me a look at how you doing.
What about the part where he goes, he's going to snap the pole off so he can beat people with it, but he
took a whiff of it and he sprayed it down and he cleaned it off first. That was awesome. And of course it's Gold Diggers, so they have pickaxes and shovels hanging up. So of course, like any good bartender knows when he sees a Santa as big as Goldberg killing people in front of him, he jumps up and grabs a pickaxe and tries to take him out, which...
And how did they attack him?
One at a time.
How should they attack him?
All at once.
All at the same time.
So of course, Goldberg clears house, and...
I forgot about this part. He goes to leave his... First of all, this is my other question. They keep calling the thing pulling his sleigh a reindeer. It looked like a buffalo to me.
Yeah.
It looked like a buffalo with antlers on it, so...
I don't know what it was just so gross looking. It was awesome looking, but
it ate the valet.
Yeah,
that part was badass. I didn't expect that at all.
You know what was badass? is that he actually burned the guy, the Rao guy from UHF at his own pet show.
Oh, is that the MSX guy?
He looked exactly like him. I don't know if he was the same. I don't know if it was the same, but he looked like Raul from the pet show on UHF, and he just totally burned him alive. So the buffalo ate the valet, which is kind of cool.
That's great.
And then it was like end scene, and then John, that's when we come to the old school animation, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer animation of the curling. Because curling.
What are those called? What are the old? Is it Baskin and I can't think of the name of the famous stop motion puppet things like Rudolph and all Baskin and Rowan or I don't remember what it's called.
Bacon and wait.
Brass.
Rakin and Bass or Rakin and Bass.
Rakin and Bass.
Rakin and Bass.
Yeah.
Rakin and Bass.
But because that was so unexpected,
and
when I saw that, I was like, oh my god, this is such like an awesome movie. It's so fun, and like you said, I'm like, part of me is like, I don't know if I'm really tired or if I'm in a really good mood, but it's like, this is enjoyable. This doesn't feel like it. Then I'm like, and they're puppets telling a story, and they're curling. It's like, I'm in.
It was awesome. So yeah, so we get the story of the bet where like. Satan's kid.
Because there were two Immaculate Conceptions.
Yeah.
There was God and Mary with their son Jesus, and then there was Satan and
Santa.
Some
yeah.
lady.
Yeah.
And some lady. And she had an
Immaculate. Let's call her Heather.
Heather.
Satan and Heather.
This might be an inside joke, but I'm not going to pursue it any further.
No, I don't know who Heather is.
Like,
I just,
oh, God.
They're like, oh no, they're like somewhere there's a Heather listing going, those motherfuckers. Like, no, there's no inside joke. There was just a random name.
I think it'd be Debbie or Dina or whatever.
Or Doula.
Doula.
So, okay, so we get the animation. It's awesome, right? So then it's like they do more research, right? And like the kid goes online, and this is what jumped out to me. I thought it was hilarious. He didn't search Google. He searched Hooya.
and they even did the.
And it goes Hooya.
I thought that was awesome. And then he got left to the Gonad site, which is like a play on the NORAD site with the Santa tracker. He's like, I'm gonna track Santa, Gonad. So like the kid types, "Where's Santa?" It's like, how old are you? What are you wearing? It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, well, then you're obviously in the wrong chat room, son.
No, but then there was the great thing. He said, how old are you? He said, 16. And he said, I'm really sorry that your parents haven't had an important talk with you
yeah,
yet.
That's what it was.
Oh, God, that was fun. It, you know, and I have to say, like, is this movie just on surface level, you're just like, oh, it's a Santa killed me, but there was a lot of little funny details that
yeah,
they did.
He said, "Are you really tracking Santa? Is this site real?" And it's like, "No, neither is Santa."
Yeah. Then it was your parents. I'm sorry, your parents haven't had this really important talk with you. the Yahoo thing was funny. I mean, there's like a lot of little tiny.
Yeah. So then cut to the next scene where it's like Christmas around the tree. And the fireplace is running, and the little kids get their presents, and all of a sudden they just open them up, and then the kids blow up. And it totally reminded me of, like, the gate, right? Where it's like, and that was, like, it. I was like, okay.
There is a little bit of the UHF humor in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, so...
Would you say UHF is probably... In, as far as, like, the whole, like, classic Gonzo movies, like Sonny Boy and, I mean, Story of Ricky O, would UHF be up there with it, too?
I like UHF.
We haven't done UHF yet, pretty... but I will never touch that. That is perfect.
No, it's too good. It's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not saying it's a bad movie. We just say we like it.
No.
So the great. So the cool thing is about the next scene, right? Where obviously the Jewish shop owner is going to get it, right? But how does right. Goldberg get him?
He takes him to the wall with the menorah.
Yes, but before that, he spears him.
Boom. Oh yeah, he does, and then later he does another one of his moves. He does the old
Jackhammer in.
He got a backdrop. I think he got a backdrop in.
Yeah.
He goes to the deli and he says this.
He got a super kick in.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which I'm sure Bret Hart hates that when he sees, you know, if he ever saw this movie.
Because the
Goldberg super kick is what kind of ended
it. It takes Bret Hart's movie career.
Did Bret Hart ever make a movie? Mighty Ducks.
He did make a movie. I don't remember what it was, though. Yeah, so he goes in the deli. He says,
"You're next."
Well, yeah, so course, like the shop owner, the Jewish shop owner, was all like starting some shit and started throwing stuff at him. And then all of a sudden, Goldberg turns around and hisses at him like the shop owner was. And then he jabs the menorah in his throat. So then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Tim, who do we see in this movie that just shows up cameo-wise?
Wait a minute, it's trivia time.
John, feel free to jump in.
Who shows up after he kills the Jewish deli owner?
Think about it.
Well, there's two cops that show up.
Oh, it's before that. All right, your time's up. Tiny Lister is the gas station.
Oh, yeah, he's in the convenience store. He sells them gum.
He's like, I just moved here from Oakland. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's just too crappy out there, right? And then all of a sudden, it was like he unfortunately for the kid and Tiny, Tiny tuned the radio station to Plot Point Radio, and it was like, oh, there's a shop owner. Something's going on. The kid's like, I gotta go there. And the kid leaves, and he's like, hey, you need your money? Oh, no, I got it. And that was it. It was like, when I saw Tiny Lister there, I was like, yes, Goldberg, Tiny Lister, No Holds Barred 2, it's going down. Ooh. It's going to happen. But this is the only thing we see of Tiny Lister in this whole movie. And I was disappointed.
And what's bizarre, it's not like Tiny Lester has probably like got a lot of other gigs to do. It wasn't like he's like, look, I've just got one afternoon to be in your movie. I wish I could do more, but Tom Tiny Lister is booked, my friends. I mean, he's got tons of time.
Like, sorry, I'm Tiny Lister, you know?
I mean, he probably works at a loading dock at Home Depot now. I mean, so it's not like he couldn't make the whole film. It's just
That was disappointing. I was so happy to see him, but then that kept me on the trip, right? I was like, oh, this is more than just cameos. They phoned in. They got a ton of cameos. It's almost like an ensemble cast at this point. So the kid runs to the store. He talks to the guy because he's alive just for a little bit. It's Santa Claus. And then the cops show up. The cops are like goober dance guys. One really tall guy, one really short, fat guy. And, of course, they take the kid and then a bunch of Hasidic Jews that saw Goldberg running around as well. It was like a gag. It takes him to the police station. So that happens. And then kid talks to the sheriff. Sheriff is dressed up as Santa and kind of kooky.
Kid lets him go.
Yeah, the kid's like, this is what's happening. It's the same trope, right? Hey, authorities who would actually solve this in a heartbeat, this is what's happening. And he's like, I don't believe you. Go away. And then that's what happens. So the kid goes away. And then Goldberg shows up and kills the sheriff's department. Who cares? They're done. Get him out of here.
Did you notice the weird scene too? Like when Goldberg killed the police, there was a guy sitting at the desk, not paying attention, just working away. When Goldberg just walks right past him,
yeah.
It was such a nice little touch. And this guy was just fucking clueless. Like they just murdered these guys, and he's just like, "See you later."
So finally, like Goldberg's in the know. He's got to find this kid, and we don't know yet, right? And this is where I guessed it. I'll tell you later on, but I kind of fingered like what was going to happen toward the end. Yes, I did, John. I fingered it. So
it's like I don't remember that. Was that before or after the teeth brushing?
It was during. And
it's like she was putting hand sanitizer on her finger, and I don't know if I missed a scene.
Yeah. Well, so then Goldberg starts chasing the kid. Right, shows up at Grandpa's house. And they run through the house, all these secret compartments, because Grandpa's crazy, but somehow Goldberg catches up with them. And then it's like, Escape on My Snowmobiles. It's like, yeah, this is filmed in Canada. And it's like, Escape. So then Robert Culp faces Goldberg, right? And then he's like, says some things like, oh, you know, that voice and all, yeah, all that other stuff. And then like the sleigh shows up and just runs over Robert Culp.
Gets run over by the buffalo reindeer thing.
Of course, because Goldberg tells us, Grandpa got run over by a reindeer.
Yeah, that.
And then he
squished his head. Yeah. He stepped on him in a
so
little
like, kind of dead. And there's some sleigh chase, right? So the kids are driving a truck. No, that was earlier. Never.
The snowmobile. That truck thing already happened.
Oh, yeah, they're driving their snowmobile, and then all of a sudden they cut into, like, a biathlon. There's, like, skiers with their skis up, and they're shooting trap targets, right? I'm like, what the hell is this? And then for, like, 2 minutes, these kids just do some sweet jumps and snowmobiles over everything.
I thought they hit an inordinate amount of ramps.
Yeah, it was getting annoying after a while. They're doing it over cars. They got tired of snow mounds, so they like did it off of cars. They did it off of all this other shit, and it was just snowmobile jumps for a good solid 2 or 3 minutes, and it got annoying. And then they cut in on biathloners or something. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. So the snowmobilers like jump into town. There's a big caroling, and Dave Thomas is dressed up as Santa Claus, and they're like, "Get out of here! He's coming!" Because Santa's, you know, Goldberg's showing up. So like, Goldberg shows up, and he somehow torches the tree, and then somehow like captures Dave Thomas in the sleigh, which never made sense for me, really.
Just kept knocking him out and leaving him in the sleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was brutally murdering everybody else, and then he punched him and just kind of...
He said, you're going to be an elf.
Maybe Santa or Satan, maybe he likes Dave Thomas, because Dave Thomas was, you know, he saw him at the strip club, and he was kind of a scuzz bucket.
Yeah.
So maybe he thought that he's kind of a cool guy and has a little bit of edge, and I'll just party with this guy.
Yeah. Well,
I think at one point he said, you're going to be my elf, and then whacked him on the head.
That makes sense.
Chases the kids to the high school, right? And the kids finally break into the high school. There's like some sexual tension between the two still.
Because there was the great line too, when nice little subtle thing, when he's trying to get her through the broken glass, and she just finally grabs his hand. She goes, "Jesus Christ, am I gonna have to make every first move?" And she took his hands and put them on her boobs to push her through.
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice. It was kind of funny.
I always like boob grabbing. I enjoy that entirely. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that girl
couldn't feel any boobs through like the humongous coats, the big winter coats.
She went on to be in Lost, by the way.
Yes.
Really?
Just a side note. She had a fairly prominent role in Lost. So.
Yes. Yeah, so think about her boobs, and then think of Lost, and the fat guy's boobs in Lost. So,
all right.
Moving on.
I didn't watch Lost. I don't watch Lost. It tries too hard.
Done. Oh, wow. Next.
I don't like anything that tries too hard. Arrested Development and Lost. Thing you suck a dick.
You're just eagerly awaiting the Mama Cast version of the Final 24.
I'm living the Final Mama Cast moment. I need a sandwich.
So the kids run around the high school. Goldberg shows up, right? And he chases them in the high school, the stupid high school chasing scene. And then all of a sudden, they like get on the hockey rink, because this is in Canada. And in Canada, all high schools have hockey rinks in them.
That's a fact.
So all of a sudden,
that probably is like 70% of them probably do.
Yeah, I don't know. They can't play track and field in the snow all year, you know? So Goldberg shows up at the Zamboni all of a sudden, and he tries to run him over.
Which is great.
Yeah. And of course he runs him into the corner of the hockey rink where they don't get run over. And then we have the big reveal. What happens?
Grandpa comes back as an angel, and he stops the Zamboni with his magic curling iron.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
'cause we find out that Grandpa is the angel from the puppet curling story.
Yep.
And we also find that the other big reveal, that when the boy earlier was complaining about that he wanted a transformer but instead got an Easy Bake Oven, they actually read his letter to Santa Claus and he asked for the Easy Bake. That's right. So he was fronting. He wasn't as cool as he thought he was. He really did want an Easy Bake Oven.
And Grandpa had to give up all his angel powers so that he could bang that kid's grandma.
Yeah.
She
must have been pretty much.
There's a nicer way to say that, but let's get right down to brass tacks.
Yeah, hey, I was like, Tim, what? I don't know where Tim lives, because there's a really burly trucker that's talking about banging grandma. That's not the Tim I know. That's not the sweet Tim I know.
Is that Flatbed Annie? What?
Oh, don't you talk about my Flatbed Annie.
So that I had this pegged when he got ran over by a reindeer. He looked too much like the puppet in the animation scene. I was like, that's got to be the angel. And then he, like, talks to Santa like he knew him. And then he got run over, and he was, like, left for dead, quote-unquote. And then he showed up out of the blue. He was like, yep, that's what's happening. So, of course, what do they do? What do they do to resolve their differences again, Canada?
Curling.
Yeah.
Masturbate?
Well, curling is masturbation, especially with my J-shaped wing. So
yeah, I don't. We throw a big pot down the ice,
right? And then we slide another one behind it.
Right, we broom it.
And we dust it off with a broom.
Oh yes, breeches and bleach.
But so they made the bet again, where it was like it's like shuffleboard but with curling, but they made a big hole to hell, basically.
Yeah.
If he loses, if Santa loses, he has to keep being nice and do Santa forever. It's kind of a stronger bet. And then if Grandpa loses, he's got to go to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Santa cheated. He threw Rubber Colt down the hole.
He just pitched him down
the hole. And then we get the other big, like savior thingy. This is where it kind of blurred out for me, right? Like the kid got a present from his grandpa that was like a nutcracker, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he whips it out and he shoots the Santa with this. And apparently it does something to the Santa where he, like, loses his powers or something. I don't know what happened. He made him human, maybe. I don't know what the hell happened. Did you guys catch that?
They said that, like, the kid's theory was that, like, at a certain time he would lose his powers because it wasn't Christmas anymore. But then Santa's like, no, that's a bunch of bullcrap.
I decide when Christmas is over.
Yeah.
And but then the grandpa's like, no, he's bluffing, and so then the kid shoots him with the fucking walnut, the flaming walnut.
Yeah.
And
this movie's made you silly, Tim, because there was a lot of fucking right there.
I was like, wow.
You don't normally curse that much. I'm like, wow, what's going on, man?
So
fucking flaming walnuts and Santa Claus and weird teeth brushing scenes. And
like no blowjobs going on in this movie.
And no goddamn blowjobs in this fucking movie. God damn it.
No mistletoe belts. That's bullshit.
So he gets shot and is like, oh, okay. So then the kids leave and Robert Cope tries to go. He's like, oh, I can't go with you. Right? So like, okay, ooh, what's going on? So then this is where it gets a little ham-fisted, right? It's like, okay, let's just turn this whole movie into an episode of South Park. You don't know yet? Okay, so the kids go to the girl's dad, right? And he talks to his dad, and then his friend, and his friend's got the voice box talker thingy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I help you. And they're big hunters, right? And dad is like crazy, and her brother is like.
Talk about that.
It's like a total. It's like total Ned. It's like Ned and the other guy. It's like Uncle whatever.
Ned and Jimbo.
It's like Ned and Jimbo in real life, right? So it's like the Indian guy with the he had like a camel knockoff. It was like Lamel, but he had like all this cigarette like merchandise on. And he had he was smoking a cigarette, but he still had a voice box because he lost his trachea tube. He lost his trachea because of smoking. So he's like smoking.
You know what that's called? That's called the old cancer kazoo.
That's right. Yeah. So he was blowing on the cancer kazoo. He's like, yeah, I don't know what we should do. And then her brother was kind of a meathead, and her dad was like in snow gear, but it was all like puffed up and whatnot. And it's like, do you guys, and they all convince him, it's like, you guys want to have the hunt of a lifetime? Shoot a reindeer. So then all of a sudden, there's like this, the big buffalo reindeer was heading toward them. They're coming right for them. And they shoot at him, and then all of a sudden, like, the dad whips out a bazooka and blows it to sky high, and I'm like, this is a fucking episode of South Park right here. And,
you know, I don't know what I was, I never even put that together. I don't know what
it is. Straight out of South Park. It's coming right.
You're right.
It was a complete ripoff, and that's how they end the fucking movie, too. That was the one big disappointing thing. It's like, that was the end of the movie. It was so ham-fisted.
They blow up the reindeer, and a bunch of meat falls down.
Yeah, Dave Thomas gets impaled on the flagpole. And they think that he's the Santa. So, like, all of a sudden, you cut to, like, Alaskan Airways, and Santa's dressed up as, like, Goldberg in biker gear. And
oh, by the way, how badass did Goldberg look in that biker gear, man?
I was brushing my teeth with my finger when I saw that.
I would have, man. Goldberg would have been like, you're my elf. I would have been like, you got it, sir.
Yes.
He just looked badass. He looked like, I was like, man, he looks kind of scarier and tougher in his biker gear than in the matted Santa dread.
Yeah. Here's your, you're my elf. Here's your Colgate.
here's your 20-pound hat. Now put it on and kiss my mistletoe belt.
Oh God. So that was the end of the movie. That was it. It's like he flies off. He has to get stuck waiting in the airport to go to the North Pole because apparently he's like. Human.
He lost his powers.
Yeah, he lost his powers.
Did either of you watch till the end of the credits?
Yes! I did!
Yes, you know why? Right. Because I noticed, what, the naughty and nice list. We could tell in the credits who was naughty or nice.
And and this is what you're treated to at the end of the credits. Just wait. Oh, wait, I went too far. Sorry. There you go.
It's the goddamn toothbrush scene.
A little musical interlude for this. By the way, this movie was fictitious.
Okay. Ooh. 24 hours.
Yeah, here we go.
Who's next?
Yes, they put
do
it
in the wah wah, because that's what I thought.
Yeah. Or I guess it should be this.
That sounds like Santa just had some toothpaste on his thong. More.
But this is from like it was 2005 though, right?
I put this down.
So, but would you?
I put this.
It would have been huge. Like when Goldberg was like the height of his popularity. This movie would have been, but like at this point, 2005, people are like, why is that guy saying who's next? I mean,
no,
I think a lot of
no,
the.
No, John, I put this down. I wrote this down. This is a perfect snapshot of early 2000 America, right there. Goldberg, Tiny Lister, little bit of Fran Drescher, stupid rap music. It was like a perfect snapshot of like pop in the early 2000s, which, by the way, it's almost 10 years ago, so let me lay that on you as well.
Boy, that's weird.
Yeah, that's the thing that I left. It's like it's a perfect snapshot of what 2005 was. Goldberg was really popular. Tiny Lister was a legitimate actor. Fran Drescher probably still had her hit TV show, or at least it was close to going.
Good Nanny.
Yeah, and you had James Caan who was in it, and then they had like rap music.
Chris Kattan was on SNL.
This is like a capsule of the early 2000s, which is now a thing, by the way. I just want
to
let you know.
I went back and I was trying to find clips for this, and I hit on a lot of Rock Goldberg stuff, and it comes up. It was 2003 they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
And that was 10 years ago.
Yes.
Oh my God! Really?
Yes.
Yeah. The Rock Goldberg stuff is 10 years old.
Remember, I got you a DVD of that for like your birthday or something of the best because they had all those really funny promos when The Rock would sing.
Oh yeah, the Rock concerts.
Yeah, the Rock shows. Yeah, the Rock shows. Which, yeah.
Man, yeah. So 10 years ago.
Remember the first time when I ever felt this way? Like when I was like, that was 10 years ago. I can remember it really vividly. My sister and I were watching videos on a Saturday, and they played just a little clip on the video show before they went to commercial of Prince When Doves Cry, And on the bottom of it said, 7 years ago, this debuted at number one. And my sister and I looked at each other and go, 7 years ago? Because it seemed so current to us. And we're like, oh, my God. We're getting, and now it's like, oh, my God, I'm going to die soon. I have, like, less life left than more right at this point.
Welcome to your midlife.
Ho, Merry Christmas.
Here, would you say you have 24 hours left?
I'm not trying to be a Jesse Dapper, but if I die, I will. I'll make sure I brush my teeth before.
Tickle my balls.
Yeah, and Hokie, by the way, I expect my annual disgusting text of Santa Claus is coming to town. That you always seem to send me every year, and it makes me laugh every year. The same as the Thanksgiving picture, the Thanksgiving is a turkey that says, "I want to gobble up your cock and balls."
No, it's like, "I want to gobble up your cock and balls."
I'm sorry.
What's the Santa Claus one I'm forgetting?
Oh, no. Do you really want me to say it?
Yeah, you gotta say it now.
Santa Claus is coming to town and on your face. He sends it to me every year, and every year I almost pee my pants laughing. It's so, and there's a picture of Santa, and he's like, "Hey!" It's like real happy and jolly.
It's good. Who's next?
Who's next?
Oh man! So that was Santa's sleigh. That was an awesome pick.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I felt good. It's better than Santa Claus the movie. I would say it's definitely. I actually kind of want to pick it up, like, you know, in $2 or $3 DVD. I kind of like to have that around to watch next year. Make it one of my holidays, along with Emmett Otter Jug Band Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh man, so yeah. That's three holiday movies. That's Santa Claus the movie. That's Santa's Sleigh, and then that's.
Two 24-hour death films.
Terror in Toyland? It's not Terror in Toyland. What is it? Oh. What's the one I made you guys watch?
I thought we've only done the,
Is that only done the one, haven't
we? No, what about the one that the pedo van driving off into the moon?
Oh, yeah, we did do that one. What was that? The pedo van flying to the moon. Was that Christmas, though?
Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to take a look.
Which one was that? That was a side movie.
By the way, you guys do know this is the 21st episode, right?
Yeah.
Is this
pretty amazing?
21. This is 21.
This
isn't 21.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it's 21.
Holy cow, it is 21.
Yeah.
I forgot about tossing the turkey salad.
That's right. Put that 21 in your 20-pound hat.
Hey, it's a toothpaste.
Oh man! Oh boy!
All right.
I guess we've been going a while, but so can we make the announcement?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Can I open
a Gonzo Christmas present? And
you're gonna reveal your Gonzo package is what you're gonna do.
Oh yes, it's who's next? It's. So we always decide, like, our next pick, like, we kind of have our rotation, like, this was mine, and then, so I think the next one would normally be Hokies.
It's Tim. So, actually, Tim would be next.
Was it Tim? Okay, so it goes Tim, Hokie, John. Okay. Yeah. So basically what I kind of ran this by you guys, and what I came up with this idea, is we have one. Hopefully we have a few people who listen, a few loyal listeners. And he does not answer, but we, and if he declines, then we'll talk about it, probably on the next episode. But, we have a guy that is listening to like every episode, even the epic long Christmas one, I believe. His name is Rod. He's a good friend of my friend Terry's. And so what we're going to do is for our Christmas gift to a guy that's stuck with the show and listen, we are going to give him the next movie pick. And so I'm going to contact him via Facebook. And you guys said that you want him to post his pick on our Facebook page?
Oh, yeah. As soon as he listens to this, post the pick up. You know, let us know. You know,
Like, don't tell him. Yeah, that's even better. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, Rod, if you're listening...
On the Facebook page.
Go to our Facebook page with your selection, and we will watch it.
Yeah, now, there are some constraints, right? Obviously, as much as we all like to want to watch some porno, and especially talk about it afterwards, that's something that we cannot do. There's no fisting, none of that dirty stuff. Not even that Skinamax stuff. I would love to watch, you know, Alabama Jones and the Temple of Poon, but it's not going to happen.
I don't know what you're talking. You're talking nonsense. I don't know anything about this genre.
So no porn. So within well reason, you know, maybe something like a Santa Slay sequel, if it's out there.
He knows the genre.
And I've been told on good account that he is a serious movie guy, that he loves movies. I'm on my Netflix queue. I actually have a movie that he recommended called Rubber.
And I could tell you, it's the Mr. Oizo guy. So the guy who did the music, the Mr. Oizo, goes under Mr. Oizo. He directed Rubber. And
is that about the killer tire?
Yeah, it's about the killer tire.
Yeah.
And then he also did another movie he directed, just recently came out, called Fear, where it was like this guy is trying to, like, he realizes the one thing that he loves the most in life is his dog, and he lost his dog, and there's a whole bunch of fucked up shit that happens with it. So, yeah, that sounds awesome. So I'm looking forward, to that pick.
Yeah, he's a nice... good loyal listener. So hopefully he'll post. We're not going to tell. This will be a nice surprise. And this could be also the saddest moment. We could basically just air our sadness in public too. Like, he never listens again. And we're like, we don't have a movie because Rod doesn't like us anymore.
Well, by the time I get back, like if we don't see anything, then we'll have a go-to. We have a backup epidose. Locked and loaded,
okay.
Like we always do. So
we will go ahead and go forward, but we will go forward with heavy hearts and a single tear, like the Indian on the side of the road.
And a tube of toothpaste in our back pocket.
To further entice him, if he's the least bit has some trepidation about posting on our Facebook page, I will throw in one of my mystery bonus products that I'm putting together.
Oh,
and he can have one of the. What's the first thing called when you make something? Prototypes. You have one of the prototypes.
Oh, man. Just to kind of help make that decision, Tim, I have a very simple question. Does this beta product, this prototype that you're producing, will it require any lube to use?
No, that's on the drawing board at the moment.
It's a very important distinction. I feel like I had to make.
No, this is not.
You know where this comes from. Can I fuck it? Will it fuck me?
The most important question we can ask is: does it have a hole, and is it big enough for my dick?
Is it hairy?
I will say this.
Will it resent me afterwards?
If my wife catches me using it, will she be mad?
Will she join in?
No, this is the product I am producing. Can, and it's, I believe in this, it can be inserted in something.
Oh!
Oh, man. That's funny, because whenever I think of producing product, it usually means I'm letting something out.
That said, the product itself is in no way sexual. So
that's good. We want to keep clean for the kids.
That depends too. What if he's a really kinky dude?
We'll just see on the Facebook page.
Live and let live. So,
post those pics on the Facebook page.
I can just send you the item. I can't tell you what to do with it.
I'm glad you got that. Tim, it sounds like you talked to the Gonzo lawyers for that one.
I
just sent you the
Tim is a master of curling around that law. You almost got that curling in the curling brick into the hole of it, to hell.
The hole
of it. So you're just right at the edge, sir. Man, you'd beat Satan any day with your legal maneuvers.
So, yes, Rod, post on the Facebook page, pick a good one. We want to be entertained.
Yes, yeah. Entertain us. Make us laugh like we make you laugh.
Or make him just glad that he's not us.
So it's not hard to do.
Yep, that's pretty much my cat looks at me and he's glad that he's not me. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think we've put a nice bow on this one.
Yes, so Merry Christmas. And, Tim, I will see you in 2 days.
Yeah, and I got to say, we did not top the three-hour mark, but we are well over 2 hours. So good job, guys.
So we're well on part. Let me just put a little close up here. There we go. There we are. The movie also had a song that recounts the story, so.
Yeah, and I'm glad it wasn't like as egregious as, yeah, good job. Wait, thank you, Santa Slay. You're awesome. I love you.
I guess I can fix a little bit of this in there, too.
Alright, well, don't fast forward.
Yep. And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Gonzalez.
No,
Merry Kwanzaa.
Merry Gonzalez.
Gonzaga.
And Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. That was it, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. Yes.
Oi!